What's up, guys? It's 3-3-3-time NFL Pro Bowler, All-Decade Return Specialist, Josh Cribbs. I want to welcome you to the Matt Sports Connection podcast with Alex hosts all things Mac, all things football, all things sports right here. Matt Sports Connection, baby. The Mid-American Conference best. Bringing it only the great Matt to everyone.
Heads up, baseball fans, you're in between the bases again, caught in another Mac Baseball Rundown. Zuck it up, zuck it in, let me begin with Eastern Michigan's Jahno Zuccaro, who went an incredible 4-for-4 with two doubles and an RBI in a road win against Morehead State. The Eagles are sixth in the conference at 2-1 in conference play and 6-12 overall. The Northern Illinois Huskies sit at fifth in the MAC with a conference record of 4-2, 7-13 overall. In conference matchup against Akron on Friday, the Huskies took down the Zips with the silver bullet man, third baseman Christian Seegers, hitting 400 with a home run and three RBIs. Ball State, these Cardinals need direction at ninth in the conference with a record of 1-5, 11-9 overall, including a crippling 8-34 loss to the Bowling Green Falcons this week. Ball State will look to turn things around with matchups against Valparaiso, Butler, and Toledo coming up. Gold on the ceiling, Kent State's stock is rising as the Flashes rise in the standings to third in the conference with a record of 4-2, that's 9-10 overall. You don't has to call me Johnson, but Flash fans sure heard his name a lot as Kent State center fielder Josh Johnson went 4-for-5 at the dish with a home run, two doubles, two stolen bases, and seven RBIs in 22-4 rout of the Ohio Bobcats on March 17th. The incredible Bergman pitched more than woo as the Toledo sophomore Jackson Bergman posted a 1.69 ERA and struck out 11 batters with a .059 opponent batting average in 5-1 innings over two relief appearances last week. Bergman struck out seven batters and didn't allow a hit in 3.1 scoreless innings, pitched at Western Michigan on Saturday to help the Rockets overcome an early 7-0 deficit. He also fanned four Wolverines in two innings pitched in a 7-6 loss at Michigan. The Rockets are 4-2 in conference and 8-12 overall. Fear the who? What happened to the Zips from the last rundown? Akron is second to last in the conference with a record of 1-5 in the conference, 4-14 overall. Broncos, let's ride! Western Michigan is second in the conference at 2-1, 9-9 overall. Coming up for the Broncos are matchups against Notre Dame and Eastern Michigan before heading to Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Kent State next week. Like a mixtape with both YYZ and Tom Sawyer, Roush makes a second appearance in our top plays list. Ohio's AJ Roush went 3-for-5 at the dish with a double and a stolen base in a March 16th win against Kent State. The Bobcats are 7th in the conference at 3-3 in the conference and 7-10 overall. Old McDonald knocked a couple out of the barnyard as EIEI outfielder Zach McDonald went 3-for-6, hitting two home runs, a double, and five RBIs on Saturday, while Miami takes 2-of-3 from Central Michigan. The Redhawks are 8th in the conference. Chippa Watt, preseason favorite Central Michigan, sits at the bottom of the conference with a 1-5 record, 4-16 overall. Lucky there's a bright spot in left-hander Adam Mirakich, who matched his career high with 11 strikeouts in tossing 8 shutout innings in the Chippewas series opener at Miami. Mirakich walked just 2 and scattered 7 hits. He did not factor in the decision as Miami scored 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth to seize a 3-2 victory. Tiana Ross and the Bowling Supremes didn't just have to wait as senior second baseman Tyler Ross takes home MAC Player of the Week honors as BGSU swept Miami and Oxford for the first time since 1995. Ross won a perfect 5-for-5 at the plate on Friday, March 8th, and finished the weekend slashing .571, .556, .929 with 3 doubles, a triple, 10 RBIs, and a stolen base, good enough for MAC Player of the Week honors. Not to be outdone, pitcher Nick Good allowed only an infield single in the to the first batter he faced and then proceeded to not allow a hit for the next seven innings. Over the course of his seven innings, Good allowed just one run and walked only two while holding the Redhawks batters to a 43 batting average to take home Pitcher of the Week honors. And finally, in a battle of birds, while Ball State was treating their scoreboard operator for carpal tunnel, outfield Jack Krause did some repetitive injuring himself, going 5-for-7 with 5 runs as the Falcons waxed the Cardinals 34-8. Bowling Green stands atop the conference at 6-0, 8-8 overall. And that, baseball fans, is your MAC Baseball Rundown. I'll catch you next time, Between the Bases.
Thank you so much, Graham, for that MAC Baseball Rundown. I really appreciate it. Guys, a lot of great stuff coming out with the MAC Baseball this year. A lot of great things going on, as you just heard. But now we're going to turn and adjust our focus from the diamond to the marching band field. And today I have a special guest with me, Dr. Andrew Rhodes, director of the Rocket Marching Band at the University of Toledo. Dr. Rhodes, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to this episode for a while, you know, as a music major, as somebody who has performed under your baton in varsity band. I'm really excited to kind of get to see your side of the athletic world, you know, just with the bands at football, with the bands at basketball, just your perspective and kind of your version of being a quote-unquote coach with these ensembles.
Sure.
So let's just kind of dive into it. You came to Toledo back in, what, 2010?
Yeah, 2010, fall of 2010.
Fall of 2010. So that was your first year with the Rocket Marching Band. You knew Toledo's history. You knew a lot of what was going on. Why Toledo?
Well, I was already familiar with the MAC. I grew up down in Athens, Ohio, next to Ohio U. And it was not foreign to me. And I started my teaching career also in Columbus. So Ohio was familiar to me as well, just in general with all of those growing up and working here. So I was excited to get back to Ohio and excited to be back part of the MAC. I didn't know too much about Toledo proper except the sort of the triumphs that the athletic teams had on the field and on the court. But, was certainly familiar with the MAC, and so I was excited with the opportunity to come back to Ohio. At the time, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, which was pretty far from everybody I knew and far from family, and so we were excited to come back, and, it's been a really fantastic find. I was not overly familiar with the city of Toledo either and have found that to be a fantastic community to be a part of.
So before you came to Toledo, before Nashville, before all of that, you were part of Blast. Talk
yes.
about that experience. I mean, that's won Grammys.
It's won Emmy Awards, Tony Awards, all sorts of stuff. I was still an undergrad, and I knew a guy who was in the cast. He had gone to the same university I did as an undergrad at Butler University. And we went one time to see them perform. They were on tour around the U.S. They were performing in Chicago. We went to see them, and I saw they do a meet and greet in the lobby afterward. And so I was shaking his hand. I was like, kind of joking. I was just so taken with the show. I said, "Well, are you guys auditioning any tuba players anytime soon?" And so he grabbed my program out of my hand and wrote down the producer's phone number. And back when we all could remember everybody's phone number, so I gave the guy a call, and he told me what I needed to do to audition. And so I did that. That was my junior year of college. I ended up getting in and had a real, like, what do I do? So I decided to take a year off between my junior and senior years. I ended up being professionally touring on the Broadway with the Broadway show Blast as a tuba player. It's a lot of dance-intensive stuff, singing as well. And it was getting paid to go out and perform every night in front of a packed house was just really pretty surreal in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially now. You did your undergrad at Butler, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you I assume you were in the athletic band there with the basketball band.
That's right.
And their great history. Butler's got fantastic basketball history.
Yes, indeed.
So you go from playing in the basketball band to performing on a stage. Like, just how big of a world's difference is that?
It's very different. In the realm of professional performing, there's always it's pretty cutthroat. There's always somebody who wants your job, and there aren't that many of them, especially when it comes to being a tuba player. So, you know, if you can't do what they're asking you to do, there's already somebody knocking on the door hoping to get that spot. But at the same time, you're the main event. Whereas, you know, if you're at a football or basketball game, you're a big part of the atmosphere, but you're not necessarily the main reason why everybody is there. And so it was pretty fun to, you know, put in all the work to prepare the performance, but then have that performance be the reason why everybody's on their feet, standing and, you know, clapping and applauding and screaming at the end of the night.
So you've completed undergrad, you do the Tennessee thing, you're now at Toledo, you got your master's from Ohio University. Talk about being on staff at Toledo, having your degree from Ohio. Any sort of conflict of interest at all in terms of basketball, football?
No, you know, I like them, and if we're not playing them, I will cheer for them and hope
you'll
that
stand
they do
up
well.
And cheer, right?
I'll stand up and cheer, correct? But you know, we've played all three of my alma maters. I have three degrees, none of which are from Toledo, and we've played all of those teams either on the football field or in basketball. And the students are always like, "Well, who are you rooting for?" And you know, my heart and my desire is always for Toledo's success and to come out on top. I wish those other programs well, and as long as they're not playing us, they can win them all, as far as I'm concerned.
It's always easier to cheer for the school that's giving you your paycheck, right?
That is very true.
So you're now head of the Rocket Marching Band and doing the athletic bands. What are some of the challenges of organizing 200-plus student musicians with class schedules? It's a lot different than a high school. You're in class from, what, 8 to 4, 8 to 3. You got marching band after school, whatever. Now you've got a college atmosphere. Talk about some of those challenges.
Well, you're right. It is challenging. Everybody's pursuing a lot of very specific interests that take them a lot of different directions. We've got a lot of students in the band who are part of engineering, and all part of that program is they go out on co-op. Several times while they're an undergrad. We've got a number of students who are involved in nursing, and they have clinicals. Students who are, you know, in education degrees have to go out and student teach later in their career. So we end up having a little bit of attrition as time goes on from some of what would be our leaders and seniors later on. And so we have to tackle some of that, but also we run into some academic conflicts. So that we have a pretty complicated attendance structure where it's, you know, it's not like athletics, perhaps, where you're like, well, this is when my practice time is, so just don't schedule any classes then. Everybody schedules their classes as best they can around our 3 to 5 rehearsals in the afternoons, but we also have to be flexible because they're here to get a degree in something else, not marching band specific. And so we want them to graduate on time with good grades, and so we've got to be a little bit flexible with that. So it creates some challenges at times. This particular time of year with the MAC championship going on, normally it would fall during spring break, but this year it falls during the week. So when the teams head off to Cleveland, we will be with them, but it means that that group of students will have to be away from class for at least 2 days, if not 3 days straight. And you know, if the teams do particularly well in the NCAA tournament, that'll add on to it.
Welcome back from spring break, right?
That's right.
you know, going further into kind of organizing, you're talking about getting people ready for the MAC tournament, things like that. You guys traveled to Illinois this year. Did you guys take the whole band?
We did take the whole band over there, yes.
Okay. That was right before school started, if I remember correctly, or shortly after school started?
Shortly after school started, yes.
How much time did you guys spend in summer camp to kind of prep that first show? Because you guys had week one, we're on the road, a lot of, again, more organizing, getting everybody ready. Just how much more time did you guys spend in the summer to get that ready?
We're always pretty much in that boat of if we're not on the road, then right out the gate, we've got a home game. And so the way our camp is structured, we kind of have 3 a-days. Two rehearsals morning, evening, where we're out on the field for 3 hours. And then there's a middle rehearsal where we're working in sections, doing very specific things to drumline, to color guard, to dance team, to the winds, to get those things ready to go back out into the field and put it together as a group. So about half of the camp is spent working on the pregame show, and then the second half of the camp is spent working up that first halftime show.
Okay.
And so, but it was, it's more sort of the intensity of getting that show ready, not necessarily the amount of time, but kind of the intensity. Like, we've got a lot of things to pack into this period of time because we got to be ready, and it's on the road. The one bright side of being on the road is you're not able to do the entirety of what we would be able to do at home without a guest band. So trying to share that halftime shortens up the amount of performance time you have. So you're typically, we've got sort of three sections of our halftime shows. So we were only doing 2/3 of it. So that saved us a little bit of stress.
Sure. Always good to have a little less stress at the beginning of the year. Now, postseason, Toledo's had a lot of success to postseason games, especially in football. Talk about organizing and preparing for that. This year you guys went to the Arizona Bowl. You guys have done the Bahama Bowl. Falls around the holidays. A lot of moving parts with that. Is that a everybody goes, or is it, hey, who can go?
It really depends upon the game. Most of the games have a contractual commitment that the entire band is supposed to be there in attendance. That gets more complicated the further away it gets, particularly in the case of the Bahamas Bowl, if it goes across an international border. So there, it really kind of varies from year to year. We've spent a lot of time communicating all that stuff up front. So as soon as those bowl dates are known, we start pushing that information out. Like, hey, I know that in high school your season's pretty much done early November, late October, but that's not how it works in college. We're going to be in season all the way through Thanksgiving, and then on into December, and perhaps even into January, depending upon the team's success.
Got to make the playoffs, right?
Got to make the playoffs. And so there's a lot of communication that starts around this time of year. Schedules start to come out. The bowl dates start to get ironed out. And so we start communicating that stuff regularly. And so it's a little bit of a learning curve for the new members. The veteran members are a little bit more familiar with it. But again, because the location can change, you know, you could be just up the road in Detroit, which has its own logistical challenges because it's right on the back end of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Or this year, you know, we were out in Arizona. So we were looking at, well, let's fly commercial. That could work. But the costs to get out there were exorbitant to even just to fly commercially. So it didn't seem like that was going to work. We ended up chartering a flight to get everybody out there. And so that was, while enjoyable, also complicated to organize a flight just for those 200 people. But even if it's just buses, whether it's to Detroit or we've bused down to Boca Raton, to Mobile, Alabama, out to Washington, D.C., even just coordinating those bus rides and the hotel rooms and the food for all of that is quite an undertaking for all of those people.
Yeah, that sounds extremely challenging, just trying to get all that organized. Now, obviously, in conference travel, have you guys, since you've been here, have you guys been to every MAC stadium?
We have not. It gets a little bit difficult with the weeknight action to get around to everybody, and our budgets don't support going, like a lot of Ohio high schools, we'll go to every home and away game. We have to be a little bit more selective and see what the calendar permits. So we've been up to Eastern Michigan. We're down at BG every other year. We've been, we played in Northern Illinois, but we weren't in DeKalb. We were over in the White Sox Stadium.
Yeah.
For that one. So we try to get around when we can, but some of the big matchups, Ohio is always a big matchup. Typically, they've got a great program down there. We've not been able to make that trip down to Athens happen because they usually pick that game to put on a Tuesday night in November. We do try to get around to the conference games when we can, when the schedule allows, for sure.
Now, you have only seen Toledo play Miami twice since you've been here.
That's true. That's true.
They come to Toledo this year, obviously. Any reason you guys didn't look at taking the band down to that one, knowing last year? Just didn't know if there was any logistical or just – because that was a big one, and it turned out to be a big one again in the MAC championship.
Yeah, it did indeed. Most of that just had to do with – we kind of try to target what the key games were going to be. That Illinois game was a really key matchup, and it required an overnight stay to make that trip happen. And so our we kind of had to put our resources toward that, gotcha. Knowing that we also had to make the trip down to Bowling Green for another away game. So just it kind of turns out, well, what are the key matchups going to be? And, unfortunately, you can't be at all of them just with the budget constraints.
You so obviously have not been to all the MAC stadiums. Is there any one stadium you want to get the band to?
Oh, gosh. And I don't know. It's been I'd love to get over to Western and Central. It's been a long time since we've been over those directions. I've heard good things about Akron's new stadium as well, and I've not been in there.
It's built pretty nice.
So, you know, there are a lot of places. I'll have to admit I'm a little sentimental. I'd love to get down to Athens again, where I grew up, and have that moment. But, they keep, like I said, they keep putting this on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays in November, and it's hard to pull everybody out of class just because of my sentimentality.
You ever make the trip just yourself, just for the purpose of going?
I have done that. If the schedule works out well with the other classes that I'm responsible for, I've been known to drive down there for a night for sure.
All right. Any favorite non-MAC stadiums that you guys have been to? I know you guys have been at Ohio State. You've been obviously to Illinois. Any ones that just really stick out to you?
The Notre Dame experience was pretty lights out. It was kind of one of those things where we had a lot of information. They did a great job getting us ready in advance. And then come to actually being there on the ground, some things sort of change, from what's strictly in the manual on what to do as a visiting band. We were coming into the stadium, we're marching up, and we had been a lot of talk about how to get through security and such. And our escorts from Notre Dame said, all right, well, just keep going. And so they throw the gates open and the band just marches in. And so we're like, okay, so, I know we're on the upper concourse. What do we do? Like, you're just going to turn left and start going up the ramp.
Oh, wow.
And so the band in formation just marched the block right up the ramp, around the back and forth, tacking up through the ramp all the way up to where the gate was at the top of the concourse to go into our seats, and everybody just gets out of the way, and it's inside a concrete canyon there of the stadium, and that ended up also being the way out. They're like, the easiest way for you to get out is just to block up, everybody will move. And so we paraded in and paraded out through the concourse, which was pretty pretty serious and loud and fun. And then just being in the stadium proper, I mean, it's a massive stadium with such history, and if we could have gotten a little less help from the officials, less involvement from the officials at the end, could have pulled out the victory as well. So it was really a fantastic day. I had the opportunity as well to share halftime with the Notre Dame band and rehearse with them to make that happen in the morning before the game as well. So, just the camaraderie through that day and being part of the history of Notre Dame football, and almost taking a bit of that history home with us with the victory was really great.
You know, the process of selecting drum major section leaders, each band has their own way of doing it. And as you know, and as most people who know band know, it's one of the biggest honors in college marching band.
Sure.
What's that process looked like for you? How rigorous is that process? Is there an age restriction? Like, are you looking like junior, seniors only? Kind of talk through that process.
Sure. That's one of the questions I get right out the gate from a lot of incoming freshmen who have been drum major in high school or have seen our drum majors and like, man, how do I get to do that? And while the formal audition process starts right around this time of year for us, I always tell them, really, you're auditioning right now. From the moment you walk in to that freshman orientation meeting, we are already kind of looking at you and sort of assessing who you are and what your role is going to be, and how do you take on going from being kind of that big fish as a senior in your high school band to suddenly, oh man, I'm back to being a freshman. How do you lead from that position? How do you fit in and work with your peers? And so it's really kind of a career thing. It's like, what have you done this year? How did you do that first season? So it's not, you know, if you are just doing incredible things, it's kind of like being selected as captain of your team. It's not just, you know, what the staff think. It's also kind of what the relationship you build with your peers looks like, mm-hmm. and how you lead from within. So when we get into your second year, third, fourth, fifth, whatever it might be, then for sure anybody can apply to that formal process. And it starts with an interview where I'm trying to sort of see where your mindset is in terms of peer leadership and what your understanding of the position is. And then from there, there's a lot of weight, honestly, in the interview and just in how you've conducted yourself to that point. But then there's also an in-person, they get in front of the band and conduct and both prepared music that they've had a chance to work through and rehearse in advance. And then perhaps almost to a degree more importantly, the opportunity to throw them up and be like, all right, start this song. Things that we would typically play in the stands, for instance. See how they communicate and how they adjust and how they, you know, make a mistake and how do you recover from that mistake on the fly. That's also really key stuff, because when you get into a stadium and there are 26,000 people packing the glass bowl, making deafening noise, you know, sometimes the band's not going to be able to hear you. How do you communicate? How do you, if they don't start right together, how do you recover? If they don't cut off right together because they stopped watching you and they're, you know, fired up about the action on the field, how do you recover? And so it's all of that sort of stuff is really, really key. It's hard to, it's not a perfect thing, you know, there, and it's a continued educational process. I like to think that I don't have it all figured out as well, so I don't expect them to have all the answers through that audition, but it gives us a pretty good sense, I think, and we also take feedback from the students through that process, anonymous feedback to try to get them to be as honest as they can. And try to make sure that they're not feeling like it's a popularity contest. Like, oh, well, I really like Alex, so for sure he's going to be the best drum major. You know, we really want to, like, you know, are you comfortable following this person and taking commands and following their leadership?
For those listening, I was not drum major in high school or in college marching band. I just want to point that out. Did audition in high school. I'm still salty about that. Doug Norton, you are forever on my bad list. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk traditions of the Rocket Marching Band. The Rocket Marching Band has a great history here on the campus, the most visible student organization on campus, as proudly announced at every home football game. You know, you guys have your march to the stadium, you march from the stadium. Any big rituals that you guys do, things that you do with other bands, kind of talk through some of those.
Some of the favorite moments, we always start and end our days right behind the Center for Performing Arts on the blocks. And there's some of these things happen sort of organically over time. Not too long ago, we had an alum from the clarinet section who would always scream, "It's game day," right before we dismissed to go march to the stadium. And it just turned into percussion starts playing one of their stands chucks. And everybody has a great time and gets fired up to head over to the stadium. And then the march to the stadium has been going on long before I got here. And the things that the band does during the cadence, those sorts of things have evolved over time. Some things get deleted, some things get added. But that's always a lot of fun. Some of the things that they do, and even in the stands, those are some of, I think the students and also the fans' favorites, some of the songs that just always have to sort of be there in the stands, sort of in the book. Some of the moves that the band does during some of those songs that, get added in or just evolve organically over time, get the fan involvement, you know, just all those little things that make it not just a place for our students to belong, but make it a place for everybody on the campus and in the community to engage. We like to say, you know, that we're the soundtrack of their University of Toledo experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, that even after, you know, in your case, you've graduated and gone on, but the band still survives. And when I leave, the band isn't going to dry up and disappear. And so, you know, that it's really a point of connection for everybody in the community so that they can latch on and be like, well, that's my band. And when we throw on those uniforms, it's pretty hard to decipher from the stands down to the football field who all those individual people are. And the faces change from year to year, but it's still nice to have some of those pieces to hold on to and expect to see and enjoy year in and year out.
That's so awesome. And just got to ask, any favorite stand tunes?
Oh, man. You know, cake, chocolate cake, yep, is always a great one.
It's a game day staple.
It's a game day staple. It predates me. It's been around a long time. The alumni love it. So it was my first time hearing it as a stands tune coming here, and it works great. Mortal Kombat is also that. Growing up with the Mortal Kombat video game and then having that be a stands tune here is always great. We've got an Offspring arrangement of "The Kids Aren't All Right," which we've sort of added as a standard tune that gets played every year in the stands, and the students took to it. It was an idea of a former graduate assistant that we had, and the students have taken to it, and they love playing that one as well. And it's loud, it's fun, especially if the opposing team is right down in front of us down in the south end of the stadium. It's a loud one to kind of annoy the opposing team with.
Nothing wrong with that. That's right. Part of the home field advantage. I think I've seen in your office you have a drum head from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that the bands typically do, similar to football teams trading helmets? Do you guys do a drum head swap?
Yeah, very similar to that. The drum lines typically try to get together, and people have in their popular conscience the movie Drumline, where they get together and unfortunately end up in like a fist fight at the end, but that's not really how it works in the band world typically. They like to get together and play stuff for each other, the different things that they do, whether it's warm-ups or stands chucks or cadence things. And so one of the things that they like to do is take use drum heads. Everybody signs it, and then they swap drum heads. We just got to do that with the Wyoming band out of the Arizona Bowl. So we swapped drum heads there. I did that at the MAC Championship this year and the year before, this year with Miami, last year with Ohio. And so it's a really fun and unique thing. Ohio has a tradition that we got to take part in where they will trade shakos, the hats.
Yeah.
And so we took a hat that had been taken out of circulation, and we got the drum majors traded shakos. And so we had that opportunity as well. So it's kind of a fun, I know that the teams are really, physical and kind of beaten up on each other on the field, but it's just not really how it works with the bands. You kind of want to outperform each other to a degree, but, it's particularly being the MAC, so many of the students either played against each other or were even in the same high school bands with each other, mm-hmm, growing up. And so then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I went to the same high school as you. And here we are getting to share the field at halftime, even though we're going to different universities. And so it's kind of a different experience in that way. So some of the camaraderie that you sometimes see in the handshake line or guys patting each other on the back after a football game, that kind of goes on a lot with the marching bands, but just throughout the game, not necessarily all the physical roughing each other up during the game, for sure.
Sure, sure. I want to switch over to the relationship with the coaches. You hear it all the time, especially in the postseason games from Coach Candle, Coach Todd Kowalczyk, and then, of course, Coach Cullup. They talk about, big shout-out to the band. Thank you for all the energy and support you guys bring. What is the band's relationship? I feel like some schools, it's very surface level. I feel like here at Toledo, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's really not the case. We've had a great fortune with the athletics administration here that they very much value what the spirit groups, particularly the band, bring to game day experiences. And so they've invested in that. You've got to run ads. There are things that you have to do to keep the lights on, pay the bills, get the team where they need to go, and feed the teams and all those sorts of things. So there's a lot of demand for that. But they've been happy to make room for the band wherever they possibly can and be creative about the way they do that. One of the things the coaches like is there's sort of a limit to how far they can go in terms of expressing their displeasure with officials or, you know, with trying to get the crowd into the game. They're, you know, they're focused on trying to call the plays and make adjustments on the fly. And so, you know, our job is to be, you know, during football, be that 12th man, during basketball, be that sixth man to, you know, try to get the crowd up and going and bring that energy whenever we can. I mean, last night we had a game. It's spring break and it's a Wednesday night. So the students are mostly gone. You know, it wasn't necessarily a key opponent for the MAC championship. And so it could have easily been a low energy night. But the students were up to it. They were all there strong. We had great showing at the basketball arena, and we kept Savage electric throughout the game and ended up with a big blowout. And so it makes a big impact on, you know, that you mentioned earlier, just have that home field, home court advantage.
Talking about basketball a little bit more, obviously, by the time this episode drops, we will be in a session for the MAC tournament. We will probably actually know who the MAC champion is and who's going to the NCAA tournament. You've been there twice with the women, with basketball, back in 17 in the first round against Creighton, and then last year, first and second round against Iowa State and then Tennessee. Talk about those experiences. Did you guys stay overnight after the Iowa State? Like, because there's a day gap in there, isn't there?
There is, yeah. For the NCAA, part of it depends upon how far away you're going. The NCAA handles the travel arrangements to a certain degree and certainly the travel costs. So you're restricted by how many people you can bring. You get 29 band members plus a director, which is really less than half of who's in the band. But then you get 12 cheer and dancers, any combination of that you get to take. Plus a coach there. And so, but if you are flying like we had to both to Oregon back the last time and then this last year in Knoxville, we required a flight to those places. So you are kind of at the mercy of what the team needs to do in those cases. So they go out a day or two in advance depending upon the schedule. And so we're on for all of that. And so sometimes that does mean we've got some time to kill. At the same time, it's nice because that's going on while classes are in session, so students are able to, you know, get online and take care of what they need to, spend some time doing homework. But it also created some opportunities. You know, you're talking about the relationships with the coaches and with the teams. We had a really fantastic opportunity down in Knoxville. The Women's Basketball Hall of Fame is there, and they had set up a tour for all the participating teams. And Coach Culp said, "Hey, we're going tomorrow morning. Do you guys want to go with us?"
Wow.
And so I was like, "Well, yeah, absolutely." I didn't know much about the museum itself, and it was a fantastic place. And it was great to be there with the team because the coaches knew a lot of the people had worked with or been coached by or had met and could talk about the history of the various people who were being recognized and talked about there. And so, you know, it's a kind of a different relationship. You know, when we were out in Corvallis, Oregon, the last time with the women's team, the game did not go the way we wanted it to by any stretch. I don't think even the coaching staff would debate that. And so everybody was kind of in a sour spot post game. Our hotel happened to be right across a parking lot from a movie theater. And Coach Gulp very generously was like, "Hey, everybody's going to a movie." And so all the students, the coaches and everybody stayed out of it. All the students from the band, from the team, from cheer, everybody went to a movie together. And so it was a really cool bonding experience. And it allows them to kind of forget, you know, sometimes you get a little starstruck by the stars on the court or the field and be like, "Hey, you remember you go to class with these people. You see these people walking around campus every day. You see them on the court and getting the airtime and all of that. But at the same time, you guys are all students and all trying to get your degrees, even though the expectations are a little different for some of you."
Those moments humanize those athletes a little bit. Being a sports fan, you know, obviously I know you're a big sports fan. Do you feel like this is one of the most ideal positions that does not involve coaching an athletic team?
I do for sure. There are a lot of parallels in terms of how I view what I'm trying to do with what the coaches are trying to do on their staffs. you know, there are those in the band, just like on the teams, that will go on and do some of these things professionally, whether it's dance, music, or whatever it might be. But it's a fairly small percentage compared to all the other things that a lot of those students will end up doing. So a lot of what we're focused on doing is developing character, developing life skills, and developing discipline, and how that applies to, you know, the greater world, not just to the marching band field or to playing their instrument or performing a dance on the court. So trying to take that sort of thing out and make sure that they're, you know, an even more desirable employee in whatever field they pursue. You know, the advantage that I have is that if the outcome at the end of the season is not what the team wanted, my job's not on the line.
Right.
They're not coming back to the band and saying, well, how come this happened? Or how come, you know, we didn't recruit so-and-so like that? You know, that's – so sometimes it is really nice to be the band director. There's no press conference after the game where they're coming back to you, you know, with difficult questions and things like that.
Why did Casey drop that cymbal in the third song?
Right. That's not really a thing. So, you know, I feel for the coaches in that regard because, you know, they are working with college students who are still developing. Even though college students are adults, you know, they're young adults. And they're still learning the and it's a everybody's got good days, everybody got bad days. I feel like particularly with the there's been some stories recently about, you know, sports betting and how, you know, someone had a bet on so and so putting up X number of points and then they fell too short. Now I'm out my bet and so I'm gonna send a nasty message to the student or to the coach, and it's like I don't have to deal with that. And so that's certainly an advantage. But at the same time, you know, we work together. It's certainly easier to recruit people to be involved when the teams are doing well, and when they're, you know, when there's a good product of discipline and character on the athletic teams as well. I mean, the Toledo just did a fantastic job this last semester setting a record as far as GPA as an entire athletic department. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having those sorts of things to be like, look, you know, these guys are doing this on the field or on the court. You know, we don't have all the same academic supports that they do, not being part of the athletic department. But at the same time, you know, if they can do that, then you know, the expectation is you're going to hold yourself to that kind of bar as well in terms of focus on your academics. You're not here to get a degree in marching band.
Sure. Sure. So as we wrap this up, I've kind of got a question that I ask all my coaches. What's it mean to be a coach in this league or an athlete in this league? For you, the question is going to be a little bit different. What's it mean to be a band director in the Mid-American Conference?
You know, I touched on a little bit of already. A lot of it doesn't really change with the conference. It's a lot of just trying to develop, you know, the students that come to the University of Toledo and participate in our athletic bands to make them be better people as best we can and give them the tools to really be contributors, not only to the campus community, but to wherever they end up in whatever field they pursue. At the same time, there's, you know, we are trying to uphold things for the university. We are representatives when we are on campus and off campus that, you know, even I mentioned, you know, alumni and people who are vested don't necessarily see the faces, but they know if an individual makes a mistake or does something boneheaded and or out of character, you know, we work so hard to build the kind of reputation that if somebody is careless and makes poor choices, that can have a negative impact very quickly on far more people than just that one individual. Mm-hmm. And so trying to be cognizant of that. Sometimes it has its challenges. You know, you see some of the big programs that get opportunities in particularly in the college football playoff to be on TV more often and all that sorts of thing, to be traveling around to, you know, glamorous spots. But at the same time, like we do get a lot of great opportunities. We perform in one of the best venues in all the MAC, and I would say one of the best venues, frankly, in around the region. It's in a fantastic place to get to play. It sounds great. We have great fans, and not everybody has that. And so to help them appreciate the things that we do have and not focus on oh, well, you know, it's not Ohio State or Michigan. Like, well, yep, you're right. And we're not trying to be Ohio State or Michigan either. And, you know, so we try to make ourselves unique. There are people who, you know, swear by, like, what Ohio University does, the show style. There are people who swear by the Big Ten style of Ohio State. And, you know, we're here in the state of Ohio. We're not trying to be those things either. Every marching band is a little bit unique. You know, I grew up seeing Ohio University, and that was my introduction to college band. I've also had the opportunity to work in the South, where there's a lot of historically black college university style marching bands, which is extremely entertaining. And I've also grew up in a competitive marching band where it was a very, very different style. It was not really what college marching band looks like. And so there are aspects of all of that that come in, and expectations. Everybody's got their own experience when they come in as students, who come in as fans, just watching and trying to be like, well, that, you know, that stuff is great and valued. And, we are doing elements of that here and there, but in the end, we're trying to be our own unique organization at the same time.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Rhodes, thank you so much for taking your time this week and today to join me. This was an incredibly insightful and enjoyable opportunity. So again, thank you. Best of luck to Toledo as they go and compete in the MAC championship, both on the men and women's side. I'm sure you're cheering for both of them to come out victorious in Cleveland. But seriously, thank you so much. This is an incredible opportunity.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Do me a favor, go check out this podcast and all the other podcasts anywhere podcasts available: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. You can also check out all the social media at the MSC Podcast on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or X, as Elon calls it now. You can check us out on Facebook at the Mac Sports Connection Podcast, or over on YouTube at MSC Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.